we are going into a brand new series today. And we came out of the Chaos series. If you've missed any of that, go back and listen to that series. There's some good content in there for you that we talked through. But we are starting this new series this week that we are titling Tapestry. So what is a tapestry? A tapestry is a woven decorative fabric, the design of which is built up in the course of weaving. So I have some pictures here for you of different tapestries. And that's the kind of stuff that takes a little bit of time to weave together, doesn't it? Very meticulous, very intricate. And you can see that all of these threads that they're putting through this tapestry weave together into creating this beautiful design. We've got a couple of other pictures here. And you can on this one, you can really see the threading and the details of the tapestry going throughout the entire piece here. And so the reason we titled this series Tapestry is because the stories and the teachings of Jesus are intricately just woven together into different threads, individual stories, characters, and themes, and it forms this really complex and beautiful story and picture of God's message. And so today, we want to just talk about what it looks like for the story of Christ to be woven in throughout all of Scripture. And today, we're going to be tackling just one section of Scripture to show you how the story of Christ is intricately woven together into the Torah. So, children, are you listening? Okay. The Torah means the instruction and teaching specifically from God, prophets, religious leaders, parents, or any Jewish person teaching others how to live a godly life. That's the meaning of the Torah. That's what it was. The Torah is the Hebrew Bible that the Jewish people used as an instruction on how to follow God. And it included stories, teachings, and laws that helped Israel in the areas of love, justice, and generosity. In other words, it was the Jewish Bible that they used to learn how to follow God, learn how to love God, love others, learn how to have justice, and then also learning how to be generous to the people around them. Specifically, the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And while it is full of laws, the purpose of the Torah is that God brings a completion to the story connecting God and man. So the whole point of the Torah is that it's God's desire to connect with humanity. So let's start from the very beginning. In Genesis 1 through 11, we obviously start with the creation story. We've all read the creation story. We all know what is going on there. And then we see Adam and Eve. We see Cain and Abel. And from here, it gets a little strange because humanity just continues to spiral downward. People get more and more hateful. People are turning their backs away from God. We see all of these terrible stories of things that humanity is doing to itself. And God is obviously frustrated at this point with his creation because he doesn't understand why they won't follow him. And then we see the story of Noah. So we see the flood story. We see Noah. And God just decides to do like a hard reset on humanity, right? He's like, okay, I've got Noah. Noah's faithful. Noah's going to follow me. This is going to be fun. He and Noah make a covenant together. And then what happens? Noah fails too, right? And so even Noah sins, and then humanity continues to go on this spiral downward. In this section of the Torah, we can see all these stories underlying the same idea, that when we seek autonomy apart from God, When we define what good and evil looks like outside of God's context, it results in a world of tragedy and death. When we try to make up our own rules outside of God, it will not work. And so at this point in the story, we have to ask ourselves, is there any hope for humanity, right? And then we move on to the second part of Genesis 12 through 50. Enter Father Abraham, who had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I'm one of them, and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. Yeah, absolutely. So Father Abraham, and through Abraham, God promises to restore humanity back to God. In Genesis 17, 3 through 7, it says, Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and the kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So God makes a deal. He makes a covenant with Abraham. And from Abraham, we get the nation of Israel, right? He's the father of the nation of Israel. And so Jesus, of course, is Jewish, and he comes from the tribe of Judah, and this was the beginning of God's plan. See, this was the start of a promise that God had made to humanity that he would save the world. If we didn't have a covenant with Abraham, we don't get to Jesus, the thread that continues throughout the story. You see, it was God's desire to restore humanity back to their original garden and back to him by making this covenant with Abraham. And in this covenant, all that God asked was for any male who was a part of God's family to be circumcised. And this was just to let everybody know that they were in fact a part of God's family. It was an identifying mark to show everyone that you in fact did belong to his family. He didn't ask for anything else in return. He didn't give them any more rules than that one. So the rest of Genesis is all about Abraham and his family growing into the nation of Israel. And then the Israelites, they fall into slavery by Egypt. Enter Moses. Moses sets the Israelites free. He leads them to freedom. And this is the beginning of the book of Exodus. And then second half of Exodus, we see that Moses is going up to the top of Mount Sinai. And here Moses receives the commandments, or another covenant with humanity. You see, before this point, when Abraham made his covenant, God didn't ask them to do anything. He had no requirements of them. He just asked them to trust and follow him. Moses, however, does come down with some rules from God. He comes down with a list of rules that the Israelites needed to follow. In total, when we're all said and done, it was 613 commandments that they needed to follow. Now, why did God have to give the nation of Israel so many rules? Why did they have to come up with so many rules? It's because up to this point, God's people had continued to fail over and over and over again, right? Up to this point in the entire story of the Torah has been God making promises with people and people failing God. And so right at the very end of Exodus, we see that God finally comes down off of the top of Mount Sinai. He was in Mount Sinai to give these laws or these commandments to the nation of Israel that they needed to follow so that they would stop messing up, right? It's like, get your stuff together. Here's a bunch of rules. Follow them to the T and you'll be fine, right? But then we see God and he moves from the top of Mount Sinai and he goes into this tabernacle that the Israelites had built for him. This takes us to Leviticus. In this book, we see that God is giving instruction on how the Israelites can reconnect with him through three things: rituals, priesthood, and purity. This is how they're going to reconnect to God. You see, the issue was is that the Israelites had gotten so far away from God, they couldn't even enter into the tabernacle that they built for God because God was too holy and humanity was too far away from him. And we see that they are trying to go into the tabernacle and all these people are dropping dead, right? Why? Because their hearts were so hardened. They were so far away from God's intent and his initial plan that they could not connect with him. But we see in the book of Leviticus, it's a whole bunch of like set of rules and laws and all these things. And all of it was to purify their hearts. It was to purify them so that they could, in fact, go into the tabernacle of God and connect with God again. You see, the way that the Israelites had connected with God was through a series of animal sacrifices, observing sacred days and rituals. And all of these things were things to remind them of how God brought them out of bad situations in the past and that God was keeping his end of the deal. And so in order for them to purify themselves, to get rid of their transgressions, to get rid of their sins, they had to pass their sins to a sacrifice, an animal of some kind or another sacrifice. And that sacrifice had to be slaughtered and burned up. Then their transgressions could physically be gone. The rest of the book of Leviticus is just a continuation of these rules that God is putting in place to keep the Israelites pure and clean for God's presence so they can, in fact, connect to him. The book of Numbers is a really cool book. It's like, why are we calling it Numbers? Because they're counting the Israelites and they're doing a census. But if you look through the book of Numbers, it's a fascinating story, right? Because God makes a promise to the Israelites that they're going to have this promised land. And this promised land is going to be unlike anything they've ever seen before. And because of their defiance, they get lost for 40 years looking for this land, right? And each step of the way, they're having to trust in God to provide for them. But each step of the way, they complain about everything. God provides them with food and they complain about how terrible the food is. God provides them with all of these things and they continue to grumble before God. And when they finally reach the promised land, they still refuse to obey God. And several Israelites, including Moses, miss out on actually going into the promised land because they of their disobedience to God, because they are not pure to enter into the promised land, which takes us to the book of Deuteronomy. And this is the last book of the Torah. You see, Deuteronomy is a series of speeches given by Moses to follow God. It's given to those who are about to enter into the promised land. Because in the middle of the book, we see that there are more laws given to the Israelites who will follow God into the promised land. You see, the Israelites, when they go into the promised land, Moses knew that it was still full of Canaanites who worshiped other gods, who worshiped many gods. And Moses wanted to remind them of how they should follow God and how they should stay true to God because of the past mistakes that he had seen along the way. One of Moses' final statements in this book is this. It's in Deuteronomy 30. It says, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all of your heart and with all of your soul and live." Think about this for a minute. This is a story that's woven throughout the entire book of the Bible, right? The entire books of the Bible. Everything that's in Scripture is pointing us to this one thing. How are we going to connect to God? You see, before Moses departs, he realizes the real problem for the Israelites. See, there had been hundreds of years of God's people breaking promises. And Moses, in his old age and his wisdom, knew that the physical mark of circumcision would not be enough to get people to obey God. And so he uses this imagery of the circumcision to talk about their hearts. That the mark of God needed to be on the inside and not on the outside. He was smart enough to know that in order for people, for humanity, to truly connect with God, they needed God to be in their hearts. You see, each time that someone would make a covenant with God, humanity almost immediately broke it. And when they broke their promise, what would they have to do? They would have to make a sacrifice to fix their transgressions, right? God made covenants with Noah, with Abraham, and with Moses to try to attempt to connect humanity back to himself. Over and over and over again, God's trying to connect. He tried to connect through just loving his people. He tried to connect with rules and regulations. He tried to connect with all of these different things. But Moses saw the writing on the wall. He knew that they would take a much larger sacrifice in order for us to truly follow God. You see, God had a plan all along on how to fix all of this, but he needed a vessel to get us to the solution. And the story of the Torah has the story of Christ weaved throughout it. You see, God didn't want us to have to just obey a set of laws or have a whole bunch of rules that we have to follow. God wanted our hearts. And just like Moses predicted, when Jesus comes and makes his sacrifice, when Christ dies on the cross for our transgressions and our sins, this is exactly what happens. In Romans 2, 12 through 15, it says, "All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts." Their consciousness also bearing witness. And their thoughts sometimes accusing them and at other times defending them. So Gentiles are not Jews, right? And when Christ makes his sacrifice, there's like this big revelation of like, oh wait, Christianity is not just for us anymore. It's for everybody, and everyone can participate in God's kingdom, and this is wonderful. And so we see these Gentiles that are trying to connect to God, and there's all these Jews that are saying, well, if they're going to connect to God, then they're going to have to be circumcised, right? That's what the mark is. And then Paul's like, no, that's not right. They're going to be circumcised in their heart, just like Moses said long ago. That God's going to connect with them in their hearts. And they're like, okay, well, then they still have to follow the rules. And they're like, no, that's not the point. That's not the point of all of this, because if God's in their hearts, they're naturally going to follow the law, even though they don't understand the law. And they're like, well, how are we going to regulate that? If they're not told the law and they do something, how are we going to regulate that? And he's like, no. Once again, they're going to have the law written on their hearts, and their conscience will bear witness to them. The Holy Spirit will come and will guide them, and they're going to obey the laws without even knowing that they're obeying the laws, because Christ is going to be internally inside of them, guiding them. Christ even says this himself. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to abolish them. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So, what is Jesus really saying here? What is he saying in this moment? What does it mean to fulfill the law and the prophets? What can we do to tackle this? Well, first, context shows us that how Jesus fulfills the law is by completing a long story. From Abraham all the way to Jesus, we see that there's these promises that are being made, and we'll talk more about those promises next week. But the law and the prophets is something that is this long history, and that there's a time when God would start healing all of humanity and creation through one key person and a group of people. Matthew believes that Jesus is fulfilling the law and the prophets full by becoming that key person. Secondly, Matthew 5:17 is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he is teaching from what? The Torah. He was Jewish. His Sermon on the Mount was teachings from the Torah. And his statement is that he came to fulfill the Torah. You see, Jesus is giving instructions for specific righteousness, a way of right relating with God and neighbor, that the law and the prophets have long been described. Following these instructions fills all of Scripture full of itself. In other words, Jesus, he does obey the law and the prophets. He obeys the Torah because that's what he was sent to do. But his deeper work is to fulfill that. He and his followers live in a powerful way that the Hebrew Scriptures had been talking about since the beginning. From the first garden in Eden to the time of the prophets and beyond, God was not only building anticipation for Jesus' arrival, but he was also working. He was working to form humanity into the people who want to live and love like Christ. He is God's promised one who brings healing to all of humanity and creation. And 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly viewpoint. Though we were once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As through God we are making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, Christ fulfilled the Torah because he embodied what God desired from each of us. He was a model of humanity and completeness that God wanted from us from the very beginning of Genesis. That's what he wanted. Yet because he was perfect, his sacrifice was enough to cover each of our sins and mistakes that we have made and we will make along the way. And now we have a direct path to God through Christ that the ancient Israelites could only dream about. You see, we don't have to make animal sacrifices anymore because Christ fulfilled the Torah. He was the completion of God's plan to connect us to God. Simply put, the Torah is a story of God trying to connect with humanity, but humanity not being able to truly comprehend how to connect to God. The story of Christ is God coming down to earth to show us a new way to live in Him and giving us a real example of what it looks like to have a true relationship with God. This entire story of Christ is woven into the Torah because it was God's desire all along to have that one-on-one relationship with me and with you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today. We're thankful because, God, there's this rich history we see throughout Scripture of you having this deep desire to connect with your creation, with us. And time again, God, you pursued our hearts. And there were times, God, where humanity was only willing to have some sort of physical mark to show their loyalty to you. But God, you found a way to connect with us through your Son, Christ. You found a way to connect to our hearts. So no longer, God, do we have to memorize all of these rules and regulations that we have to follow. But God, you direct us in the path that you would have us go. So I pray today, God, that each and every one of us, that we would recognize that your sacrifice, that we would recognize how frustrating that it must be when we fail you over and over and over again. God, that we recognize that you made the biggest sacrifice possible so that you could have right relationship with us. I pray today, God, if there's anyone in this room that just never had that connection with you or that it's been a long time since they've had that connection with you, God, that today would be the day that they turn to you. God, that they would open up their heart to you and allow the Holy Spirit to fill them so that they once again can be free to live a life, a full and complete life in you. God, help us to die to ourselves today, to not desire our own thoughts or our own ambition, but God, to desire your heart and desire the things that you would have us do, have us say, and have us act. We love you, God, and we thank you for everything that you're doing and in through our minds and our hearts today. And it's all this we ask in your holy name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for being here.